Hello, Monarch fans. Welcome to the Hudson Homers podcast. For the second week in a row, this is a celebratory podcast because we won the series with Marshall.
Yes, CB, we did.
How was your weekend, man?
My weekend was great. We won the series with Marshall. I got to see Thunderbolts twice. It was fantastic. I'm having a great weekend. I'm having a sad Monday because I got to get back to reality and just live. And I can't do all the fun stuff.
Yeah, it was a harsh wake-up call when we had to go to work and do all that boring stuff this week after really a fun weekend. I made it down there Friday and Saturday, was happy to finally break my curse on Saturday.
I didn't realize that until you said it. How many games had you seen this year before they won a game when you were there?
So I was 1-7 going into Saturday. I had seen them beat Georgia State on the Saturday game.
Oh, okay.
I had not seen them win since then. And then if I would not go to the Sunday game in Harbor Park, they would somehow win that.
They would win.
I couldn't go to the Saturday game against Louisiana. They won that one. So starting to think it was me. I was all ready to just cancel my plane ticket and my hotel down in Montgomery just so the guys had some kind of chance. But they proved me wrong. They won on Saturday. And Sunday was Blake Day. Complete game. First time since 2018 for a Monarch pitcher to go CG. And, man, talk about stepping up in a key moment.
Yeah, I looked I put that out there that it was because I had to think about it. And my first off the top of my head was Morgan McGuire, 2018, was the last guy to complete game. He actually had two that year, both complete game shutouts, which is outstanding. Those are the last 9 incomplete games. We actually had some 7 incomplete games since then. In 2021, Ryan Moore, one of our current coaches, he had a 7-inning. It was a run rule game against Charlotte. And then Hunter Gregory was one of our Saturday starters that year. You might remember during conference, we were playing scheduled 7-inning games as part of doubleheaders on Saturdays.
Yes. Yep.
And so Hunter Gregory had 3 7-inning complete games that season. So, yeah, I still say it does hold up. It was the first complete game. Full complete game for a Monarch pitcher since 2018, so which is awesome. I mean, that's just the kind of veteran, gutsy leadership you expect from Blake.
And I mean, it was he earned it. 112 pitches, he went all 9, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. Both of those runs came in the first inning. He walked the first batter, and I'm sure everyone was kind of groaned a little bit, and then get a home run, but then after that, I mean, 8 shutout innings to follow that up, slam the door on Marshall, and clinch a series that we desperately needed to win.
Yeah, that was the most impressive part, I think. You know, starting out, it's like, all right, we're down, and then just kept the Saturday and Sunday games this week. I was talking to Hadra at the end of the game yesterday. I said, you know, this is like the first time we've really played some real baseball, where it's like, you know, it wasn't this nonsense of like it's a 12-11 game and we had to come back from 9 runs down, and it wasn't like we got up by 8 and then we gave up 7 and just happened to win. It's like, no, we both games got behind but then got ahead and kept grinding and grinding and holding. I mean, the game Saturday where you know, Dylan does great, 6 innings, 7 Ks, 4 runs, and then the bullpen comes out, Hubble with a scoreless inning, Kellen with 2 scoreless innings, and just holds on to the win the way we need to. And then Blake, same thing, just grinding it out. We came from behind and just kept on piling runs. It was like, this is some real baseball. That's what we've been waiting all year to see, some actual, like, good baseball wins.
And I think that was Kellen Davis's best performance of the season. Yeah. One run game, held the lead, was able to get a 2-inning save, which set us up to potentially save Bailey for Sunday. Turns out, didn't need Bailey at all this weekend, so he actually gets a rest weekend, which I think is a really good thing for him at this point in the season. But Kellen Davis, he was filthy on Saturday.
He was great.
It's been a while since we've been able to just hold a one-run lead over the 3 innings after the starter comes out, and the bullpen did a great job with Hubble and Kellen.
Yeah, when we get Finney on here in a little bit, we need to talk to him because the pitching management this weekend was spectacular. You know, Friday, Ben had – frankly, it's just a terrible game. I mean, there's no real other way to say it. I think aside from the game where he came in relief down in Southern Miss, where he gave up, I think, 6 or 7 runs, this is probably his, if not his worst, his next worst game. But they kind of kept told him, I don't know if they told him, but I'm assuming it was just like, hey, you got to eat it. So he still pitched into the 4th, 5th inning. And then, you know, it was very clear. Like I was kind of standing behind the dugout, and Jace Park was there. He was acting as like the ball boy. You know, they need somebody to do that there at that park because we don't have a lot of student managers. And at one point, Finney kind of went over his ear, and it was very clear. It was like, okay, hey, get on down to the bullpen. And you know, it was obvious at that point they're down by so much. It was like, all right, we're not going to use our studs, right? This isn't going to be a game. We're not going to see Bailey and Alex Hunt and Kellen and Hubble and those guys pitch. So they brought out Nick Sulpizio and Jace Park and Dylan Tostrup, guys who have not pitched great this year. All three of them were outstanding. I mean, Sulpizio threw two scoreless innings. Park, he did give up a two-run homer, which was not great, but otherwise he got out of a jam that Sulpizio put himself in. And then Tostrup, he only had like five innings all year, threw two scoreless in that game. So that sets you up. Okay, now you have all your bullets in the bullpen for the games on Saturday and Sunday. And like you pointed out, you got Hubble out there, good scoreless inning. Kellen, too. So you saved Bailey. So you still had Bailey Metella available. You had Alex Hunt. You had Frank Wright. You had Hunter Baines. Those four pretty solid arms out of the bullpen. They were all available for Sunday. And you didn't have to use them. So they all got a week of rest. I mean, this was a phenomenal – it's weird to say in a game where you lost 11-4, there was a phenomenal pitching management, but there was. And that part of that was the guys have to pitch well enough to make it work.
Yeah. I mean, the guys coming out of the bullpen did a great job. I think this is probably one of the best weekends that the bullpen's had end to end. Even in that game, I mean, you know, Ben kind of had to eat the nine earned runs. The home runs that were getting out, by the way, at War Memorial, if you were there, you know what I'm talking about. They're not these moonshot, just rocket home runs. A lot of them are just scraping the fence. I mean, both the ones that Dylan gave up on Saturday were nothing special. They're an out probably at most ballparks, but that's where we were playing. Marshall took advantage of it. They took the right approach and tried to get stuff down the line, and it worked for them. Really like that. But on Friday, I think our offense had a lot of opportunities to go make that a slugfest shootout. But Marshall defensively made every play. I mean, every single play. And I've got to give credit to Eddie Leon at the starting third baseman for Marshall. Made an outstanding play. Maverick Stallings rips a ball down the third baseline with the runner on first. He somehow backhands that thing and turns two. He had another good play up the middle between third and second. Their outfielders had some crazy plays to rob hits and doubles. So it's 11-4. I think we'd still lose that game, but it's much more competitive if we get a couple shots to fall in here or there. But Marshall was great defensively. And Eddie Leon, who plays for Marshall, the third baseman, got to meet his dad because he actually played high school ball with Kane and George. They're good friends. Their dads are good friends. And while we were getting, you know, kind of stomped a little bit there on Friday, he was nice enough to buy Aaron and I some beverages and also Kanan's dad some beverages. And if you take a close look at the beer that's in his hand over my shoulder, he does have a Hudson Homers podcast koozie on. So he made sure he did not go home empty handed. And then you got this great shot of the two of them. I believe it's after Sunday, right?
Yeah. And it's fun. Kanan with his jersey untucked is funny because as they were going to do the review, you know, the game's over. Kanan immediately is ripping his jersey out and they're going to the review. And Finney's like telling him, like, you got to put it back in. We're still technically in the game. Like, we don't want to get in any kind of trouble for that. So it's just funny how committed he was to having that jersey untucked.
He was done with that thing. It had been raining all day. He was done with it.
Yeah. I'm sure it was wet out in the outfield too. Yeah. No, you're right, man. I mean, at that Friday game, I said a few times, like, this is kind of a microcosm of our season. It's like every time somebody can make the best play of their life, it's happening against us. It's these plays. If you gave these guys 100 chances, they probably wouldn't make it again. But they're doing it. I mean, there was one play I think it was the shortstop. It was like a line drive that hit off his glove and bounced out, and he still managed to catch it and then throw the guy out. It's like, this is ridiculous. Like, how does this happen to us? I mean, props to them for having the game of their lives.
And the Friday starter for Marshall, Bryce Blevins, he was a pain for us last year. He's a really good crafty pitcher. He ended up going seven innings, gave up four earned, at three walks, three strikeouts. He had a comebacker come hit him in the foot fairly early in that game. Of course, it hits his cleat. It just deadens right in front of it, and he picks it up for one of the easiest outs of the game. But it was probably, you know, 95-plus off the bat, which should have been just a rocket into center field.
Right.
So I had a feeling that our offense was going to come around there, and I also knew that we probably weren't going to have that pitching performance again the rest of the weekend. So I wasn't necessarily nervous, but obviously you lose Friday in a series that you really need to win, and you're – You're a little bit tighter Saturday and Sunday, but the guys did a great job of just stepping up, fighting back in every game. And then, man, just Blake on Sunday. Like, I'm sad I wasn't there in person, but it was great to be able to just watch that from afar.
I know I'm too invested in not managing my emotions about things well, because the difference between how I feel leaving the ballpark Friday compared to how I feel leaving Saturday and Sunday, it's like, you got to be better than this, man. This is not a good place to let this thing I have no control over, and I'm just hanging out at control my emotions that much. I got to do a better job.
Yes. Yeah. I hung out in the parking lot for about an hour after the game, talking with Aaron Zielinski and kind of thinking of some longer term things and stuff like that, but mainly just to blow off steam, so I wouldn't be thinking about the game the whole ride home.
Right.
But hey, it was worth it. I'm glad I went down there Saturday, got to see a great performance there, hung out with the Brown family. Alex Hunt's parents were around, obviously Kane and George, a few other ones I got to meet and chat with. Good to just be around good people all weekend too. Yeah. And sitting with the family of the starting pitcher, I think they were probably the more relaxed of a crew that I've sat with. A little different than, with the Holobets last year and things like that.
Hey, speaking of Holobets.
Yes.
There was some breaking news today with our good buddy John Holobets. He got traded to the Red Sox today. There was a trade. We were looking up a pitcher I'd never heard of, but he was with the Red Sox last year. And right there around the start of the year, he got traded to the Brewers, and it was for one player and a player to be named later. And that player to be named later ended up being John Holobets. So now he is moving from the Brewers to the Red Sox, and he is going to be with the Greenville Drive, where he'll be teammates with fellow ODU alum Noah Dean. So that is some absolute gas coming out for the Greenville Drive. That's fantastic.
Steal for the Sox to get him as a player to be named later, because he's got right around a 3 ERA right now. He's been eaten in low A ball. So John gets a promotion out of this. He's going to go up to high A ball. Friendly face and Noah Dean. Really, really excited for him to see how he
does. Yeah, they didn't play together, but Noah's been back around enough with his girlfriend playing the tennis team. And he's worked out at the ballpark a ton. I'm sure he and Noah probably know each other pretty well, or he and John probably know each other pretty well. And the people don't know, player be named later. A lot of times what happens is they give the other team a list of guys and kind of say, hey, you can pick one of these guys. You have to buy a certain date. And my guess would be that with John, with his excellent start, it was like, yeah, it's pretty easy. We're taking that guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's looked great. Well, Coach Finwood, I see him backstage. I'm going to bring him on now, the man of the hour. Coach Finwood, how's it going?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
Great news for Holobets.
Yeah.
I heard you guys talking about that. That's really cool that him and Noah are going to be teammates. They weren't ever teammates here, but they're teammates by proxy as Monarch alums. And both really good relievers for us in their careers here.
Yeah, we're excited to see what John can do. I know he was eating pretty good there with the low A ball. I mean, we got to see him in person, and just clearly a step up, I think, from the rest of the competition. So now, the Red Sox, they do tend to fast track some guys to get up pretty quickly from the draft classes. So hopefully that maybe clears a quicker path for him, since they've already moved him up to high A ball.
Yeah, I wonder a little bit if Nick Murray didn't have a little input in that, one of their pitching coordinators. And Nick was here for 2 years with us, and got to work with Holobets, and got to get to know Noah Dean, when he'd come back for some side work. And I wonder if he maybe had some input into helping that him become that guy to be named later. So
we love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Big series win for you this weekend. I thought the guys gutted out a pretty good performance Saturday, dominated, I think, on Sunday behind Blake. What are your thoughts on this weekend? Were you sweating bullets after Friday like we were?
That's the second Friday in a row we've lost in different fashions, of course. But, Ben is just having I really feel bad for Ben Moore. He's having a rotten time with these migraines, and he's gotten some different diagnosis on what's going on with him, and he just hasn't been able to be himself, because I think rightfully so, you're worried about what's going on in my head. I don't feel right, and he clearly wasn't himself on Friday. So he's got an appointment with a specialist today, and you know, we'll hopefully hear some, have a little more clarity on that. But he's pitching, you know, with a big weight on his shoulder because of all this. And, you know, he's had flashes of his old self at times this year, but very inconsistent. And Friday just was a bad day. They hit the ball, you know, they got a bunch of hits, too many walks. And, you know, it's one of those you get behind too early to a tough. I think Blevins is tough. You know, we beat him up there last year in a real low scoring close game on Saturday. And he's just that college lefty that is hard to get to. You know, we had a couple home runs off him and a couple other balls hard. They made some nice plays. I thought you had to tip your hat to them. They played really well Friday and they've been playing well. So yeah, we had our work cut out for us without a doubt. But these guys, you know, every time their back's been kind of to the wall, they've come out fighting, and we haven't always won, but they've come out, you know, punching. And we did that again Saturday, you know, got behind a little bit early and, you know, kind of got a rally going. And I thought Dylan, you know, outside of the, you know, he gave up what, 4 runs on 2 homers. And you know, and the wind's blowing out at Oral Memorial, play small, especially the left. But he battled through some adversity, got out of a couple jams, you know, gave us 6 solid innings. And we, you know, I thought, Hubble came in through a really good 7th, and he came in and said his shoulder's bothering him. Told Mike, and I was like, oh, God, okay. Well, Davis had been up once, just in case a jam arose. So he was the guy. They're mostly right-handed. So, you know, we said, let's just give Kellen a shot to go out there and do it. And he had a pretty clean 8th and, you know, went out there and got it done for us in the 9th. So, you know, proud of him. And, you know, we got some couple big hits in that game that kind of helped us, you know, expanded. I think, you know, Maverick Stallings got a 3-0 pitch with a runner on first and hit a double, and that was a go-ahead run, as it turned out. Mav's been probably in his career probably hitting 800 on 3-0 pitches, and we usually let him swing it, especially in the smaller parks. You know, if you remember in the tournament, the play-in game, he had a 2-run homer on a 3-0 pitch against South Alabama to give us the lead. And, you know, so that was big. And then, you know, the catching issues were probably the the lead story this weekend. Same guy knocked 2 catchers of ours out of the series on a backswing. And so Evan Holman, who's been out because of an oblique strain, can't hit left-handed. So I told him Saturday morning, then you're just going to have to hit right-handed. When's the last time you hit right-handed off a righty? He goes, I couldn't even tell you. I go, well, it's going to be today. And you'll be fine. You're actually a way better right-handed hitter than left-handed hitter anyway.
I was going to say, I said that to you this weekend, as this might be your fuel for getting them to switch to just righty.
Yeah. And sure enough, you know, he gets up and hits a base-clearing double on a hanging slider down the left field line and gets us going. And, you know, caught. I thought Evan was a warrior back there. He's, yeah, you know, obliques are no, they're one of those things where everything you do, you feel it, especially in baseball. It's such a rotational sport. Just throwing the ball back to the pitcher, which, oh, by the way, a catcher has to do 180 times a game, in case you're wondering, you know, not to mention when they got to throw down or call third strikes and you got to block it and throw to first. And then he got, I think they hit him in the knee. He got kneecapped a couple times behind the plate. So I'm sure he spent most of the day today in the cold tub, just icing it down, you know?
Well, we were all anticipating, because we knew the situation with Evan, like best case scenario, doesn't play over the weekend, right? You get F and you get Slate and you split it up. Then yeah, we know he's starting Saturday and I don't see him take any practice swings in the on deck circle. And he goes to the plate, and we're like, all right, what's going to happen? First pitch hits him right on the elbow. We're like, all right, he ends up scoring. And then, yeah, really, I think the first swing he had of the day was that double down the line. It was right at me. I was standing on the wall down there. But, I mean, that's huge. That ties the game for you. It gets the the bullpen or the dugout's all fired up. I mean, that's a big moment for Evan to step up in, knowing he's held together with popsicle sticks and duct tape at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, being that it was Morales' second concussion in basically 2.5 weeks, he probably won't catch any more this year. We're hoping to get him back. You know, I don't think it'll be this weekend, but maybe by the, you know, Tuesday at Richmond, he'll be able to swing the bat for us again. But I think his catching days are done for this season. And so Jack and Evan got to be the guys that go, and, you know, that's the way it is. And they'll be fine. And Jack's feeling better. You know, I'm anticipating him catching Wednesday night at VCU. He's from Richmond. It's a home, you know, Essence hometown game for him. So that'll be neat for him to be able to do that, I think. So, yeah, and then, you know, yesterday was the Blake Morgan show, right? Like, what a fantastic outing. Our first complete game in 7 years, I think. And, you know, he actually threw 27 outs without giving a run, because the first batter he walked in, the second guy, you know, tapped one out of the ballpark and down 2-0 with no outs. And then they didn't score again. And, you know, they had some traffic out there, but he just really battled. He gets in those grooves like that sometimes where he's got that changeup going and the innings just go fast, you know?
Yeah.
And through strikes and, you know, he walked two guys and struck out seven, and we played very good defense behind him. So that also was helpful. I thought we played good defense most of the weekend. And, you know, Teron had a big RBI hit for us out of nine, or two RBIs actually, you know, and Evan got a hit and run down that moved some guys up, and we just were letting them off the hook, though. We weren't scoring the guy from third with less than two outs, which, as we've talked about in the past, this team's had its issues with. And so we're letting them hang around 3-2 going in the seventh, and then we finally got some big hits in the seventh, you know, and got that thing going. And then we did it again in the eighth. And busted open a close game, you know, and made it look like it wasn't that close a game. So that was good to give Blake some breathing room.
Yeah, I was just kind of – so if they had not scored those runs, extra runs there in the bottom of the eighth, was Blake going to go back out for the ninth?
He was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was going. You know, I just – he had that look in his eye, man. And in today's world of analytics and numbers – What they miss in that, guys, is the human element of it. And when you see that look in a kid's eye, like, I don't need to talk to him. Like, his pitch count was fine. I think he was at 98 going into the ninth. Mm-hmm. Finished at 112 maybe. That's not a lot of pitches for a complete game. And, you know, he just had that look, man. He's like, I got you guys. Like, just let me have it. And he's a senior and – he deserved a chance to you know, to do something special like that. And, you know, Mike kind of came down and says, who you want up? And I said, well, get these guys up, but it's his game. You know, we got a 6-run lead. Like, he can give up a couple and still finish this thing. We're not going to let him throw 130 pitches, but he's got a little bit of wiggle room there.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's great.
Threw a couple extra there while the referee or the umpires had to go, you know, review the double play at the end and slow walk all the way back to the field and then slow call everything. But
if they would have reversed that one out, I told the guys already, I said, I'll tell you what, if they change this call on this, you're going to see an Earl Weaver type going on out here. Y'all can get one more out without me.
And, yeah.
Fortunately, they didn't. So,
well, you did win another challenge this weekend. It's on Saturday. I think it was Kanan sliding into third.
Shouldn't count, though. I mean, good God.
Everybody in the ballpark saw that he was safe, except for the one guy making the call. It was a quick review through the net. He was a problem on Friday, I think, behind the dish, and he heard plenty about
it. He was terrible all weekend. It's not good. I mean, that was one of the quickest reviews I think I've ever seen.
Yeah,
too.
Like, that was crazy.
Like, hey, we got to walk back here, but we all know what you're saying. So,
Well, one of the home runs that Dylan gave up, it was the shot that was down the left field line, and I saw who was making the fair foul call, and I don't care what he said. I was going to say it was probably wrong. Yeah. It was close to the foul pole. I couldn't tell from my seat, but I was like, maybe we should take a look at that.
Yeah, it was pretty – that one was pretty fair, I think. That guy was bad. He was terrible on Friday. That wasn't helpful either. Like, his TrackMan report was just awful. So, one of those things, unfortunately. But that didn't – he didn't cost us a game Friday. I mean, those guys were balling. We weren't good enough. But, you know, it's another – you know, we said we had to – you know, we needed to win these three series, and we've won two of them. So now we got to go up in JMU and do it again. And, you know, two or three are on the road, and the other one's kind of on the road. So, but I think with the way things are shaping up, I mean, what are we tied with Texas State for fifth?
For fifth. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you how bunched together it was that, you know, you're up there at fifth. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. And you got some teams moving in the wrong direction. I mean, Appalachian's lost like eight in a row, or Georgia State's lost a bunch in a row. Georgia Southern's been scuffling. Marshall plays at Georgia State this weekend, so one of those, whoever loses that one's gonna probably be out of it, I think. And they got 9 and 10 wins, and then there's some other people playing each other too. So, but two more wins, I think you're gonna be in a tournament. Three, I think you got a good shot at being, you know, in that top six. I mean, no one's going to catch the top four at this point, but you could definitely finish fifth. And, you know, fifth or sixth, you know, does the same thing for you. It keeps you out of the – it's just what bracket you're going to be in, right? Like fifth, you're in the one seeds bracket, the 1-8-4-5, and sixth, you're in the two seeds bracket. So, you know, Coastal or Southern Miss, I mean, pick your poison.
either one would be tough.
Yeah, they're all tough. Yeah.
I think it's really down, like that 5 and 6 spot. There's five teams I think that can get there, because I don't think anyone's going to catch 1 through 4. Like us trying to catch four games on Louisiana with 6 to go, probably.
Yeah,
probably
and they got the tiebreaker. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's us, Texas State, Georgia Southern, Arkansas State, and App. And then you've got, I think, Texas State and Georgia Southern play each other this week. So you kind of need like a Georgia Southern to win that series, like 2-1, something. That's the way that helps you. But a lot of things you can just root for teams to lose, like App and Ark State, you know, just root for them to lose. But yeah, I mean, I think 3-3, you're right in the thick of it. Maybe you come down with some tiebreakers to that 5-6 seed. But, you know, I think you handle it.
We got the tiebreaker over Georgia Southern. But that's the only one of the – Georgia State I don't think is going to be get up there, so that's not going to matter.
You know, 6-0 solves a lot of problems.
Yeah, that'd be good, especially since Coastal's 20-4. Their pitching numbers have been just out of this world, man. But you never know what can happen. So we got to take care of – we got a Wednesday night VCU game in front of that too. So. Go have some fun with that and get, you know, probably throw everybody an inning. You know, some guys didn't pitch this weekend, need to get out there and try to stay sharp. So one of those type deals, and play at the Diamond. And we've played pretty well at the Diamond through the years. You know, I couldn't even
tell. Might be the last time ever.
Yeah, that's right. It might be the last time ever. So, you know, get if we got to rest somebody in that game, then we will, because at the end of the day, it means nothing other than it's a game you're playing and you'd like to play well. And I thought, you know, all in all, the guys did a good job this weekend. And anytime you get, you know, a couple really good starts like we did on Saturday and Sunday, it's certainly helpful, and had some big hits to go along with it.
So I mentioned this before we were talking, before you came on, and I wanted to bring it up. You guys did a fantastic job with your pitching management this weekend, which it's weird to say, like, with losing Friday 11-4, but it was pretty clear after that. It was like, well, I'm not going to use the guys. I'm not going to use, like, the best pitchers. And it was a great scenario where some guys who had not really done great all year came out and had some of the best games of the season. And then with Hubble and Davis, you were set up. I mean, you went into Sunday, you had Bailey and Hunt and Baines and I've lost the fourth one I had a minute ago, all ready to go. and if you needed him on Sunday, and he didn't end up needing him, so those guys got rest. I mean, that was just a great it had to happen, had to get the good pitching to have it happen, but a great job of coaching you guys did.
Well, I think that sometimes on Friday, CB, back in the old days, if you got behind early on Friday by 5 or 6 and the other team's ace was out there and you're like, all right, man, we're not going to score 7 more runs off this guy, you would use that to get your young guys their experience. Like you throw a bunch of your better freshmen that weren't quite ready to be in the moments, the leverage moments yet. And I thought that Friday, you know, I thought Parks threw the ball pretty well. I thought Sulpizio threw the ball pretty well. And who was the other one we threw?
Josh Dillon. Josh
pitched great.
And Dillon threw the ball pretty well. And that was, they each threw, you know, 1 or 2 plus. But I thought it was good. They did a good job. They kept the game right there. You know, and we had a couple shots at it. We just couldn't get a big hit. But they didn't let it just fall to crap, you know?
Right.
And so they killed a little bit of their offensive momentum. I mean, you think about, they didn't score a lot. They didn't do a lot of offense. They hit 3 home runs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. After about the 5th inning on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. If you go after the 4th inning Friday, we pretty much dominated them the rest of the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all they scored 6 more runs and they were on 3 swings.
Yeah.
So I thought we really pitched well after that. And I was proud of our guys, you know, for bouncing back that way. And it's such a funny dynamic. I mean, people put so much importance on the Friday game. I've always been of the mind that they overemphasize it. Everybody would love to be 1-0 rather than 0-1. I get that. But it doesn't necessarily – baseball is one of those sports where – the momentum is the guy on the mound the next day. That's where your momentum is. And our 2 guys on the mound the next 2 days were better than their 2. And so we were able to get that momentum back. Their guy was better than ours on Friday. But sometimes, you know, you go out and you lose a close one on Friday. Both teams pitch well. And, you know, that happens oftentimes as well. But you just got to bounce back and win the next one. And then I think the momentum then switches. Like, all right, they won Friday, we won Saturday. You know, we got the win going into Sunday. We're feeling a little better about ourselves now. And, you know, we've all won on Friday and lost on Saturday too. And you're like, man, we had a chance to win the series, didn't get it done. Now we kind of got to win tomorrow. And the other team that lost Friday and won Saturday is like, all right, we get to play for the series now. We get to try to win. And so the mindset of it is, you know, is always so important. And, you know, we haven't won a lot on Fridays. I mean, we were looking back at our record on the 3 days. You know, if you want to talk about what pitchers are, you know, what's your record when this guy pitches, you know, that stat, I always think that's cool. What, not necessarily his record.
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
The team's record. And Fridays in the league, I think we're 2-6. We've played 8, right? And then Saturdays, I believe, we're 4-4, which means we're 6-2 on Sundays.
Right.
Yeah. About as balanced as you can be.
Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, we're winning on Sunday. We're not winning on Friday. And we're, you know, 500 on Saturday. So it's and we're also, you know, one of the few teams that haven't swept somebody or been swept.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just kind of been staying right in the middle.
Marshall came in Friday riding a great hot streak. I think they won 7 in a row. They beat a ranked West Virginia team that was 3 games clear of everyone else in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I think at least offensively with the bats, they were seeing the ball like it was a beach ball. And sometimes when you get those teams that maybe are overachieving a little bit and kind of on that hot streak, once they hit that loss and they kind of deplete that energy, man, they fall. And I feel like the way that we pitched on Saturday kind of extinguished that flame. That's what it felt like. They didn't really – I don't feel like they had a whole lot together Sunday outside of that top of the first.
Yeah, and obviously Blake had a lot to do with that because he was on point. You know, he kept them that way. It's always interesting to see because it's always just different. You know, they got to go down and play Georgia State, who they're a game ahead of. We were a game ahead of them coming into this. And, you know, so they got to go on the road. And anything can happen down in that park down there, too, man. That's an offensive park. So, and Georgia State can hit. They just haven't been playing well. So, but they're fighting for their lives now. You know, they got to win that series this weekend. So, and then if they beat Marshall in the series, then that may put, you know, Marshall pretty much out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of grits and chaos going on in the next couple weeks here.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah.
So a lot of people.
Did you see somebody sent it to me on Twitter. There was some sort of bench clear or something in the end of the JMU-Georgia Southern game yesterday.
No, I don't think I saw that one.
You have to look that up. I don't know what happened, but you know, baseball bench clears are much ado about nothing. A bunch of guys.
Yes, it looks cool because there's so many guys, but it's nothing.
Yeah, it's a lot of chaos. Bo was telling me a little bit about it. He was texting me on Sunday. I never got a chance to see the video, but there's been a couple of things up in with involving JMU this year. There's been a couple of bench clearing situations.
I will say it does make me think of, you know, the big internet thing going around right now, the 100 men versus a gorilla. The only thing I've seen from that funny was like, what about 100 Don Zimmers versus Pedro Martinez, who would win? baseball brawl. Yeah. Maybe think of that one. But I got Gary, you got that picture. I got a picture at the end of the game yesterday. I really enjoyed. Yeah, so this was, I thought it was great. You know, there in the line. You know, I think it's just cool to have those moments with the guys. You know, Blake's been here with y'all for 4 years. I mean, you knew him, I'm sure, for years before that. Yeah. You know, it's got to be fun to watch these guys grow up and have these big moments.
Yeah, without a doubt, man. It's, you know, and especially your seniors, because they, you don't get to be a senior in a baseball program without going through ups and downs and tough times. You're talking about a kid, you talk about resilient. You know, that kid had the world by the balls his freshman year, came out of nowhere, conference, first team all conference, which is unheard of for a freshman in a conference like Conference USA, first team all conference pitcher and freshman of the year. And you know, everybody's, I mean, I don't even, what was ZRA? Like something ridiculous.
It was like once. I actually looked at it. Yesterday. It was crazy.
Crazy.
And then, you know, sophomore year, the injury bug got him. He, you know, he was banged up a little bit. He ended up, you know, missing the end of the year with ACL surgery. And then he had the meniscus thing. And coming back the next year, just wasn't ever quite himself. And this year is finally healthy again and started to show good bits and pieces of even a better version of the old Blake Morgan, because he had a breaking ball now. He didn't even have that as a freshman. It was pretty much fast change. Fastball, and he was still throwing a fastball 91 in the 90s.
Yeah, it was looking good.
So he's carried his velocity. Couple pro guys were in there to see him yesterday. I was so happy about that, because sometimes it's when they see you, right? Yeah. And a couple of the guys called me today and said, man, that was awesome performance. You know, we were so impressed. So I like that for him, certainly. And he's a wonderful kid. He's a great teammate. You know, when he's not pitching, he's on the front rail of the dugout. He's encouraging all his.
Sometimes even when he is pitching.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
I saw you now, actually, right? Yesterday. He was there shouting while they were batting. I saw you kind of look over. I don't know if it was at that, but it in my mind, you're like, is he really doing that? Lays in the middle of this. All right.
I think Mike came up to me after the seventh, and you were talking about pitching, and I said, "Well, he looks pretty good, man. How's he feel?" He goes, "I don't know. I'm not talking to him." That's baseball in a nutshell right
there,
right?
Yeah, right.
Leave him alone. I might say something that'll screw him up. Like, leave him alone. Yeah. He's doing great.
Well, I remember talking to Mike about, I think it's Mike Trupiano that he had. Made the big leagues. Yeah. And I remember talking to him about it, and he's like, all I was trying to do was just not mess him up. That was my entire plan with him, is to do everything I could to stay out of his way and let him succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's kind of last night what it was, man. He just let him roll like that. And what, like I said, I would imagine he'll be the Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week. I don't know if somebody
I would hope better so. Be.
Yeah.
There'll be some guy for Southern Miss, Louisiana, that threw seven innings and gave up four runs. So he was the best.
I mean, complete games are so rare now in any level of baseball. You know, in college baseball in particular, so pro baseball, any level, they're rare. I mean, and so they should be celebrated, especially when it wasn't like we threw them 160 pitches to get them that. We would never do that, first of all. But he did it on schedule, you know. I mean, 112 over nine. I'm an English major, so you can do the math. So, I mean, it's probably about, you know, it's probably about, you know, 13, 14 pitches an inning, which is nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, that's really what you shoot for, right? Like about 15 pitches an inning. And I feel like you're on track in what, 2 hours?
12.4, which is
12.4. Yeah.
Yeah. You want about 13 inning. I mean, it's pretty much what you need to do to pitch a complete game.
Yeah. Yeah. 120, they say, right? That's something like that. So, but he was fantastic. And, you know, he only had a couple innings where he had to, you know, battle out of something. And we got the one break where they had to steal in there with one out, and we got the batter interference on the strikeout, and that saved a run. But other than that, man, it was all him and the guys picking him up behind him. So hopefully we can keep that up. And, you know, I'm glad this isn't a short week for him coming off that, because the following week will be. And we got to get through this week, and then we got to figure out, you know, you guys tell me, give me some of your thoughts on what we need to do to set up the pitcher for the
tournament. That's how do you get ready?
You have a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, the last one. And then you've got, you know, if you're not in the playing game, you play Wednesday. If you're in the playing game, you play Tuesday. The whole playing dynamic changes everything, right? Because it's one, you got to win, must win. But if you're in the regular tournament, then, you know, it's a little different than if you're in the play-in. So we'll see what's up, and let's get there first.
I say, I imagine this weekend will have a lot, because how you do this weekend will probably give you a better idea where you might be standing, regardless of what happens against Coastal.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you can win the series this weekend with 14, depending on what, you know, Texas State does, obviously, and then a couple of – I don't see anybody below us sweeping somebody they're playing at this point. So it'll probably tell you, hey, we're in, but we gotta win one to, you know, maybe be in the top six. I really do think 15 is going to get you in the top six this year, feels like.
Yeah, it's looking like it here a couple weeks away,
Yeah.
Make them down to some tiebreakers if you're at 15-15, but you'll be in the conversation. I think 16-14, you're pretty much at this, I would think, guaranteed a 5 or 6 seed. Just based on
how, like I said, 18-12 will really get you somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Start nipping at Louisiana there for that 5 seed. Yeah, that's a lot to figure out and manage too, because you also have a midweek next week before we play Coastal at War Memorial. And that may be, you just, the whole kitchen sink out there and just see what happens.
Yeah, that'll be one of those games that you're just going to go think about it like a practice. It's a good day to just get some guys some work, and you may play a few guys and get them out of there and rest them, and depending on what we need to do against Coastal and that kind of thing. And then, you know, you got to figure out what you want to do with your pitching. I've been in situations before where you really only needed you remember COVID, we didn't play they had an open weekend that last weekend for the Conference USA tournament, and we ended up going down playing Louisiana Tech, and we played them Friday, Saturday, and we threw our Moore and Gregory both in the Friday game. Just to give them an extra couple days for the tournament. If you need one win, and we ended up winning both of those games, but we didn't need to, but because it was already set for the conference. If you need one win, it could be a scenario where, you know, you would just throw Blake at the end of one of the first two games a couple innings to close and try to win it, and then he's done for the week, and you could throw him first in the tournament if you had to, something like that. So, but got to go beat JMU, and then all those things would be fun to talk about. And that's not going to be easy. They obviously they're one of the better pitching staffs in the league, top to bottom. They got some guys that can throw the ball and a couple lefties that are pretty good.
Aiden Cool's brother is Cool's doing brother. Really well.
Yep. They haven't hit a ton this year, but it's an offensive ballpark. So, and I did look at the extended weather forecast. It's going to be cool up there on Friday night. So Shocker in Harrisonburg, and then Saturday and Sunday look nice. So,
all right. Well, let's do it. Let's go. I'm all for 6-0. Let's do it. Let's go out and get some wins.
Hey, we were supposed to have the groundbreaking ceremony today for the Elmer Family Stadium, and the I guess whatever meteorologist they were talking to told them that it was going to be some pretty bad weather around, so they postponed it to June 5th instead of May 5th. So we got that giant tent at our home plate right now. It looks like a Star Wars spaceship. I mean, it's huge. And I was like, how are we going to practice tomorrow with this thing there? So we're going to have to be creative. I think they're trying to get it down, but I haven't been given any guarantees. So just one more thing to work around.
It's like a turtle, right?
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe I'll take BP inside it, maybe.
We'll see. What I was thinking. Just you have to hit everything on a line or on the ground. If you pop it up, you owe money for the tent.
Yeah. They'll come pick it up and have a bunch of holes in it from all the time pop-ups.
That's a good lesson for the hitters. We're not trying to get pop-ups. Hit it there.
Exactly. Exactly. Any questions? Right, anybody chime in on anything?
You answered the couple questions that I had picked up just in person about, you know, approach to pitching and all of that good stuff. I will float you one because Teron Hammond is going to be our player guest today. Yep. Watching him be the bullpen catcher and then having to run out and warm up the pitchers, I guess, is he the emergency backup catcher now given the situation?
He is, yeah. He's the guy that – he's been in the bullpen this year times when we've had to get two guys going, and he does fine. And, you know, his biggest issue was he said, I don't have a cup. And get a cup. So, yeah, we probably need to do that, Ron. He is an amazingly wonderful kid.
Great kid.
His energy, you know, is infectious. He loves being a part of a team. He plays hard. He's just great. And he gave us a big spark yesterday, man. And, you know, he hadn't played for a couple weeks much at all, a couple pinch hit appearances, but he never mopes. He's always in the game. He's just a really, really fun guy to have on your team and in your program. And we all appreciate him so much.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to him and talk all about the weekend and his whole journey. And he's from Essex County. I went to Middlesex County, so we got a little, something there too.
Yeah.
I think that's all we had. And as always, Coach, we appreciate having you on here, man. It's an awesome boost for us and get to hear it. The information directly from you is always a big win. Tried my best to get to the Diamond this week. I think CB's coming up.
I'll be there.
Yeah, so we'll do that, and then, of course, be watching this weekend on ESPN Plus for the JMU series.
Hey, one of the things we are going to try to do with Teron, and you usually only want to do it as in a home game, but I thought it would be cool to try, and we're not going to do it Wednesday night, but we may try it at Richmond the following Tuesday. Never had a guy try to play all nine positions in the game.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're going to give that a whirl. Of course, we need to have the lead. or at least be tied in the ninth for it to work, or else you're, like, wasting a bunch of time. So I don't know.
Well, you know, he actually has a ton of pitching experience. I'm like, I know we were going to do this with Bryce Windham. We were going to – which he had not ever pitched in college. He pitched in both, Ron has a decent amount of pitching experience.
He does, yeah, and he's actually been throwing bullpens. You know, he looked pretty good last week. He threw the hitters, So we may still use him in that capacity. So we're going to think about it. I'd love to be able to do it. I wish we had one more midweek home game to do it in. Because, like I said, if you go through all that and then you don't get to, you know, play the ninth, that's when he's got to pitch.
Yeah, right.
It kind of defeats the purpose of it a little bit. So, but it's something we'd like to do. So we'll see.
That would be pretty
awesome. It's always that mid-inning switch of the eighth, you know, if the situation – we're gonna be winning the game. We're not going to worry about it, but just in case.
Yeah.
You know, you can always
That's
throw
true.
Him in
we, could, we could we could just bring him in the eighth off the field to pitch.
Two outs today. I mean, ECU does it, right? Why not us?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. We might need to try that. So, all right, guys. Well, enjoy right, your Faye. Time, Ron, and thank you.
Go Monarchs. Thank you. Appreciate you,
Thank
man.
You, Coach. Go Monarchs. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
This episode of the Monarchist Podcast is brought to you by the Pride of ODU Collective. Their mission is to elevate the experience of student athletes through name, image, and likeness, while also elevating the fan experience. If you or your business are interested in getting involved, you can reach out to us directly or go over to theprideofodu.com. That is theprideofodu.com. Thank you for listening and go Monarchs.
Welcome back, Monarch fans, to the Hudson Homers podcast. We are excited to bring on infielder / bullpen catcher, a little bit of everything. Senior Teron Hammond has joined the podcast. Teron, how is it going, man?
Going really well. How are you guys doing?
We are great, man. We know you are kind of in the middle of your journey back to campus from Essex. Back in my home county of Middlesex, where we apparently just still don't have cell towers there. They haven't upgraded since I graduated.
Middlesex always going to be like that.
Yeah.
Always.
Yes.
We'll be in flying cars, and they'll still be like, man, this Wi-Fi out here is terrible.
You definitely hop in a little time machine.
I actually didn't know you was from Middlesex.
Yes, yeah, graduated from Middlesex, played down at Deltaville Ballpark. It was obviously well before you were there. This is 2005 when I graduated high school. I think the big name for Essex then was Harold Mazingo. I don't know if you heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Heard that name.
I actually trained with Harold a few times.
Okay, yeah, he was a beast. He was throwing like low 90s to me, and I was like 15 years old, and it did not go well for me. Yeah. Well, Teron, you had a great weekend. I know you spent a lot of time running back and forth from the dugout to the bullpen to catch the guys when we were down two catchers, but huge hit on Sunday to kind of break the offense open. What'd you think about the weekend?
I thought the weekend started off a little shaky, but in the end it went well. We rallied together. We stayed together as a team to keep fighting to overcome the obstacles that got in our way of winning. So I think it went really. It started off bad, but ended up really good.
Yeah, you're one of those guys that you're just such an important part of any team. Like you show up every day. You've got a great attitude. You're always smiling. You can see you're out there, just always uplifting the guys. Man, like, is that a thing you think about doing, or just something that just comes naturally to you?
I would say it's a little bit of both. Of course, I'm human, so sometimes I don't have a good day, but I just feel like if energy is a really important thing to, like, in baseball to me, because, like, if you don't have good energy, then, like, how are you going to perform well or how are you going to do anything good? So I just feel like being the person I am to bring the energy to the team and to the dugout or on the field, like, it just helps out a lot more than what anybody would think.
Yeah, and you've moved around a couple positions this year. I think you played third, you played second, you've done a couple other things. But how is that for you, just kind of always having to be at the ready to go? Is that part of that just positive energy you're bringing to the dugout?
I'm just somebody that just wants to play and win. Like when I was younger, like we just always wanted to compete, like especially like in Essex, like it's not many good baseball players. So like, of course, like I had to be that guy to play every position like that was needed whenever we needed it. So I just feel like the competitive nature is something that helps me bring like a winning mentality to the team.
Yeah, and to that end, you know, you this is your first year playing Division One. You've got as much college experience as pretty much anybody on the team, you know, playing a D2 of Virginia State and Bluefield State. But this first year at D1, but also the first time you've really haven't been in the lineup every single day. I mean, other years, you know, you're playing shortstop every day, you're in pitching every day. What's that adjustment been like for you to have to learn how to, like I said, be ready anytime?
I was saying, most of the time, of course, but again, like, when things, I'm not going to say I'm not going to be the best for the team, but as in, like, if he sees something that, like, we don't see, then we have to just trust what he sees because he's been in here 20 plus years. So it's just the adjustment has been just being myself and just being there to help. Like, you know, like you said, like I've been at the college level for 3 years. So like I've seen the ups, I've seen the downs, I've seen it all. So I just want to be here to help my team win and succeed in the place possible.
Just asking a little bit about, you know, how you got recruited to ODU. Obviously, you're at Virginia State for 2 years. You're at Bluefield State for a year. You know, what's that journey like going, eventually coming from Bluefield to Old Dominion?
I would say that was a good – at first it was a little rough, like when I first had entered the portal. I ended up entering the portal because my coach for Bluefield State ended up leaving and going to a different school. So the recruiting, like, I remember I just one day, like, I'm not going to say I committed to another school, but, like, I had told the school that I was coming, but I just wanted to, like, bet on myself. And one day I just remember I text Hayes my sophomore year of college when I first entered the portal, and we had a little conversation and whatnot, and then I just was like, I'm going to text him this year just to see what the odds are that I get the opportunity to be able to play at Division One.
Glad it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out really well for us. So we're glad you landed here.
I literally, like, when Hage first got to ODU, the first thing I told him is, you know, the guys you recruited at VMI were always some of my favorite human beings. Like, as I'd see them, you know, playing here local in high school. And so it makes perfect sense that you were the guy that you texted Hage, because I was like, yep, there you go. Just another top notch, fantastic human being.
Yeah, that's what I try to be.
There you go.
Awesome, man. Well, we've talked to several other guys on the team. I think you're living in a house with Scotty, and who's the third with you?
Zach. Yeah.
Zach. Exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about living in that house.
It's a great household to live in, honestly. All of, like, me and Scotty, like, we're the loud ones, we're the talkative ones. Zach don't really talk as much, but we can get Zach out of his comfort zone when we're in the house together. So the household is just a fun household to live in. Like, we always laugh and joking. We cook for each other. We do everything. Like, it's a really good household to live in.
Did Scotty ever get you doing pterodactyl sounds with him?
That's not something I do. That's more of him and Zach thing. Like, I'm more than one. Like, I'm just going to sit here and just laugh at them doing it. Cause, like, what are you like?
This is just like a competition.
We heard about in the left field on like Saturday. He was out there at the end of the game. He was just out. You could hear him yelling. Nobody else out there. He's like, "Let's go!" He's just being Scotty. Oh, yeah. Just saying, "Yeah,
yeah." That's definitely Scotty right there.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I mean, I noticed you down in the bullpen catching. I think early in the day on Saturday, and because I kind of knew the situation with F and then with Slate as well, but I assume you have caught at some point before because you looked a little too natural out there, even in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've caught throughout my whole life. I probably started – my catching was actually the first position I played. Like, I played in baseball. I didn't start playing shortstop until about my 7th grade year of middle school. But, like, catching is something that, like, I started doing. Like, that was one of the first things, that and pitching.
As long as you have the proper equipment to catch, right?
Yeah. That's the big issue.
Yeah. I was about to say, you can go ask Evan if you can go without one, because I'm pretty sure he caught one right off the plate into him on Sunday.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh, yeah, yeah. Sunday, yes. I think Evan got hit twice on Sunday, I believe.
He's got to be just living in an ice bath this next couple of days.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, you were talking about pitching, and I brought that up a little bit. We talked about Finney. You pitched a ton between Virginia State and Bluefield State. What was that like? I think you told me one time that it just kind of happened.
I pitched in high school, and I think my freshman year at Virginia State, I believe one of our starters had got hurt, and we just was looking for somebody like to just do it. And I just remember, like, I was like, man, I can do it. Like, it's, you know, I'm not gonna say I was the hardest thrower my freshman year, but I can definitely say from my freshman year to now, like, I've picked up a lot more velo than what I started with.
Well, I want to tell the fans out there just actually how good you were pitching. So at Virginia State, 30 appearances, 3.81 ERA, 216 batting average against, conference player of the year while you're there too. Then at Bluefield, what is it, 12 appearances, 2.53 ERA with 3 saves, player of the year award again. So I would say you were more than just like getting filled into a spot. Like, it seems like you may have upgraded the position by throwing you up there.
Yeah, I was, like I said, I just, when I'm a competitor, so I always, when I'm up on the mound, like, it's just, it's you versus me, and I'm going to bet on myself 10 times out of 10, no matter who it is or who steps into the box. Like, I'm going to bet on myself no matter what.
I had a picture, Gary, if you got the one of him and Mav, and this is, and I probably got a ton of these, but I noticed you guys take a minute before every game. It went away. Take a minute before every game to pray with each other. Tell me why that's important for you guys, and how did y'all start doing that?
I forgot what series started it. I believe it was the series after Charlotte, when we were going to Auburn. Like, our Auburn series, it just was a thing. Like, we just came to each other, like, before the game, because we usually pray as a team. So, like, we would pray as a team, we'll break off and throw and stuff. So, like, one day, like, me and Mav just, like, because me and Mav are really close, and, like, we both, like, believe, like, God is, like, the number one, like, thing person in our lives. So, like, we do everything through him. So, like, me and him just one day, like, just agree, like, let's just pray before the game. And we just been praying in every game, and it hasn't stopped since.
Yeah, I know, it's always it's a nice moment. Anytime another photographer is at a game, that's when you can see that photographer light click for him to get it. But yeah, I remember the first time I met you was at a volleyball game. It was you were hanging out with Mav. Yeah, and I was immediately like, well, I love this guy. I can't wait to see him get to play all year.
Yeah, Mav was the first, like, one of the first teammates that I had here that, like, we actually clicked, like, as soon as we met each other. So, like, that's my boy. Like, so, yeah.
So now that's interesting, because, you know, I see him when he gets kind of hyped up on the field, especially when things start happening, he's a little louder. But in general, like, I've known Mav like 2 years, and he maybe hadn't said 12 words to me. So it's funny, because you're much more talkative. Is he like that when y'all hang out, or is it just like you got to open him up a little bit?
I'm going to say, like, I remember, because everybody tells me, like, Mav, like, even Mav will tell me, like, he didn't talk to nobody. The first time he came here, and I just remember, like, when I first came, it was like August, and, like, we just, like, all of us went to our teammate's house, and we were just sitting there and talking and vibing with each other. And I just remember, like, him coming up, just, like, introducing himself and showing me around and different things. Like, we just had, like, a talk. Like, I found out he was from Florida, just different things. Like, it just was like an instant bond, like, as soon as we started talking.
Just soulmates. I get it. All right.
Yeah. Well, CB got a couple other great shots from this weekend too. So if you ever need evidence that you caught it, ODU, if you somehow don't end up behind the plate, CB has got you covered. I mean, like,
Of course, the smile, right? Of course.
Yes, that is awesome. And by the way, no one is going to be trying to railroad the catcher, because it's going to be a tough one to get through. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Did you play football? I have to assume you played, like, every sport there in high school.
I played football, and I also played basketball in high school.
Right. Yeah, just assuming, like, you said, a small town anyway, and you're a pretty phenomenal athlete, I had to imagine you were just, like, top of the world. So what'd you play? And I don't want to put any disparagement on your height, but I'm assuming point guard in basketball. And what were you, football, like, running back, linebacker?
Running back and safety, actually.
Safety, yeah. There you go. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Some of those smaller county high schools out there, if you can run 50 yards without falling over, they're going to be like, oh, you're a three sport athlete. Then there's Teron, who ends up being like the best player at every sport that he plays. So right. That's awesome.
That's exactly how it is at the small schools. Everybody plays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have a year of cross country for some reason because they just didn't have enough guys to run. So
that's funny.
Awesome. Well, Teron, we ask everyone who comes on, you know, we've got a college element to MLB the show. We got the college football game back. So if they were to make a college baseball game, what would be your overall rating? And then what within the ratings would you spike? It'd be like contact versus righties, power versus lefties, fielding. So overall, and then your best attribute.
I probably would be like a 85 overall, 85, I think. And my best attribute would be my contact versus righties and lefties. Yeah, just contact all around, like putting the ball in play, hitting line drives. That would probably be my best attributes.
So you joined the growing list. Again, you see kind of who the people we have at ODU, because most of our guys give that like 81 to 85 range. It's like, yeah, I'm good. You know, I'm not amazing. So, hey, you can do some of this ball player. Yeah. Except for it was Zach. Wasn't Zach the one who was like, no, 99?
99, yeah. He's 99.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like Zach, too. Zach definitely would say 99.
Yeah, I think Scotty said he's somewhere in the low 80s or something like that. So
a lot of 80, 81 to 85 range, which is fine. Another, I mean, especially in a game, man. Yeah, I mean, you guys are young, you know, put you in a ball game, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, I know you had finals this week. We won't make you say how you felt you did on those, but what is what's next for you once the season wraps and the semester's over?
Oh.
I'll ask you the harder question.
Yeah.
I would definitely try. Summer ball somewhere. I'm going to play summer ball somewhere just to keep everything good. And hopefully, like, either at the draft or during the draft, like, you know, I'm just trying to do my best to get a shot at the next level, honestly. Mm-hmm.
There's lots of indie ball opportunities too. If it doesn't, you know, affiliate there's, and it's not, you know, indie ball a few years back, you know, 10, 20 years ago, it was like, oh man, this is not that good. But now it's pretty solid. You can actually, I was talking to Kyle Battle's mom. Kyle is one of our alums. He got picked up by the Yankees for a few years, and he's playing indie ball right now in Nebraska. And we're talking about, so, you know, now they actually pay enough. You can actually live and like pay your bills and do okay on. Yeah. So it's, yeah, even if it doesn't work out with affiliate team, that's an option for you to try that out too.
Yeah, definitely. Just somewhere at the next level, just to keep playing
for sure.
Doing what I love.
It's great, well, man.
Position flexibility should help you out quite a bit with that. Because All right, we need a catcher, we need a right fielder, we need a second baseman. I've got it all. Come get me.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do everything.
And you played a few games for the Chili Peppers for a couple years, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. I think I looked and there was a game I was at taking pictures where y'all were playing at the Pilots, and you came into the end of the game, but I just didn't happen to get a picture of you. So I was sad about that one.
I did that. That was my freshman year, actually.
Yeah.
Because we had to like wait out, like it was raining or something.
That's probably why I didn't get a picture. I might have not been there anymore.
The game ended up starting really late. I definitely remember.
There you go. All right, man. Well, Ron, I thoroughly enjoyed you being on the team this year, man. I'm really glad that's how it turned out for you. You know, you're the man. You're awesome, and you're just wonderful having your energy around the field. And so hopefully we can bring it here. And I was telling Finney earlier, we're talking about all the different variations of how things were. I'm like 6-0 in conference. Let's finish it out that way, right?
Yeah.
So. Just appreciate you coming on, man. We appreciate you being a Monarch, and just thanks for everything, man.
Yeah, of course, man. Thank y'all for just accepting me and giving me a shot. I love it here. I love Norfolk. I never really came down here, but I definitely feel like it's a home down here for me.
It's awesome, man. Good.
That's awesome. We're definitely happy to hear that. So, well, Teron, thank you so much. Drive back to Norfolk safely. Watch out for the deer in Middlesex and Gloucester on your way back. But take care and good luck this week against VCU, then heading on up to Harrisonburg to beat the Dukes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes. All right. Thanks, Teron. Take care.
All right, Ron.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it, man. Good kid. Good That's kid. Awesome. We say that every time. Every time we finish with him, good, just a good kid. Yeah, Ron's a great guy.
Yet to find someone on the team I don't like. So
that's. I'm sure there's probably one of them. We hide them well. Yeah. All right. So let's get to our players of the week. What do we say? Hey, look, you had that ready. Look at you.
Oh, I'm learning. Man, episode 16. Ready. I got this finally.
So, pitcher of the week was really hard. It was really hard to pick who was going to pitcher of the week this week. No, it was not. Obviously, it was Blake Morgan. Complete game, 9 innings. Finney's point was great. They got 27 outs actually in a row, 27 outs without giving up a run after the first two. Yeah, 2 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks, and just absolute, just senior leader. You know, Kellen Davis, as you pointed out, probably one of his best performances of the year. 2 innings, no hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. Ethan Hubble, a scoreless inning with a couple of strikeouts. Hopefully his shoulder's okay. Dylan Brown, you know, it wasn't the greatest start of his season, but a very nice start, right? 6 innings, 4 runs, 7 strikeouts. He's up over, 82 strikeouts this year? So he's getting up there. I think I looked it up, and the most recent highest strikeout total within the last, since Fenwood's been here, Hunter Gregory had 85 one year, 86 another year. So, I mean, Dylan is going to blow right by that. Nick Sulpizio with 2 scoreless innings, which he has not done all year. It was fantastic. Dylan Tostrup, same thing, 2 scoreless innings. So the pitching, we had some – you wouldn't think in a week where we lost a game 11-4, we had some really great pitching, but we did. Yeah. And then Maverick, second week in a row, Maverick Stallings. It is now past April 15th. So Maverick, and I'll go through that here in a minute. I did some deep dive on the stats here. But Maverick for the week, he was 5-for-10. Had 2 doubles, a homer, 4 RBIs, picked up 3 walks. Some other guys who did really well, Kanan George, another great week. He's been really consistently good lately, 4-for-11, a double, a homer, 3 walks, stolen base, 3 RBIs. Evan Holman, 2-for-4, had that bases clearing double, had 4 RBIs, a couple of hit-by-pitches, a sacrifice. Kyle Edwards, another good week, 4-for-10, 2 doubles, 3 RBIs, a walk, a sacrifice, a stolen base, just fill up that box score. And Zach Late, not his best performance, but still 3-for-10, 2 walks and hit by a pitch. I mean, again, he's statistically, Zach has been our best hitter all season, and he just kept on proving it. And I'll give you an opportunity here, Gary, because we know I talk too much, to add anything. And then I'd like to break down a little more on the Mavericks kind of numbers over the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Blake with the CG, that's an easy pick for the pitcher of the week. Very close second with Kellen. I think the biggest takeaway for me this weekend was the pitching. We know, didn't go well early on Friday, but to see Nick Sulpizio get 2 scoreless innings, Kellen Davis with potentially the best stuff he's had all year. Yeah. These guys potentially rounding into form or stepping up in the big spots 2 weeks before we go to the conference tournament is really, really important. Even somebody like Dylan Tostrup, these guys are going to have to eat innings and have good innings for us if we actually want a chance to win the conference tournament. Because it's, the top 6 of the Sun Belt is going to be brutal. And we've got to have guys that can have some quality innings for us. And we've seen a couple of guys emerge over the last couple of weeks. I think it came to a head later in the day Friday and Saturday. Of guy arms in the bullpen stepping up in a big, big way. And that makes me feel a little bit more positive heading into the conference tournament. And then, yeah, it's Mav season.
This is crazy. These stats. So again, I know, hopefully when I just throw all these numbers, it's not too much for folks. I think it's at some point we'll get good and actually put graphics up, but that, hey, if that's the kind of stuff you want, figure out a way to make this be our full-time job where we just take care of ODU sports and stuff.
That'd be amazing.
Give enough to the collective that we can just make it be a job and still also give money to the players. But until then you just have to listen to it. Sorry. So Maverick is currently on a 9-game hitting streak. During that streak, he is 16-for-36, 4 doubles, 4 homers, 12 RBIs. So 9-game hitting streak, he's hitting .444 with a .1423 OPS. Okay.
Whew.
Phenomenal, right? I mean, .1423 OPS is ridiculous. That's like Mike Trout and Barry Bonds in their prime.
Yeah.
Steroid era Barry Bonds, right? So in the 23 games Maverick played before that, he had 1 double, 1 homer, and 2 RBIs. And he hit .193 with a .525 OPS. So you could not talk about more of a switch around. this continues a trend. People may remember last year, Maverick was kind of, you know, he was there, and then end of the year he just blew up and went crazy and ended up leading the team in home runs. So I looked at it, and pretty much on the exact same date, I looked at April 15th. Says from April 15th on is when these nine games are this year. It was April 16th last year, starting with the game at UVA. So last year, before April 15th, Maverick hit .236 with a .709 OPS. Right? It's not terrible, but it's not great, obviously. Yeah. You know, it's like, all right, you know. After that date, hit .346 with an .1117 OPS. Hit 8 of his 12 home runs. That is absolutely insane. Nuts. So, he's from Florida. It makes sense. As the weather heats up, so does he. It's great to see that he's on this stretch. He also weirdly has more home runs than doubles for his career. He has the same amount this year, but last year he had 12 homers, only 5 RBIs. Or 12. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop. Last year he had 12 home runs and only 5 doubles. This year he's got 5 and 5. So he weirdly, a lot of guys, you know, you tend to hit more doubles and then you get some home runs. He just tends to knock them over the fence when he hits them.
Yeah, and Finney mentioned it earlier, the big home run he hit in the play-in game against South Alabama, the 2-run shot to help us go and win that. So, I mean, if you're going to get on a hot streak, this is the perfect time of year to do it. It seems like that's kind of Maverick's warming up point is April into May. So I'll take it.
It will not hurt my feelings if every single week we're putting a picture on the board. I will find a new picture of him every week.
He does seem like he's having better at-bats. Even in some of the at-bats where he's gotten out, his approach has been good. He's working counts. He's getting in very favorable counts where I feel like he will just reach back and try to hit the ball back across the river. So love to see him coming on late. I think there's a couple other guys that probably need to have maybe plateaued a little bit that need to start kicking into gear, but we're getting contributions all throughout the lineup. And even Evan Holman, and it's not an award we have, but if I would just had to say the toughest dude of the weekend, it's Evan Holman. Yeah. Having to get plugged into the catcher spot, already injured when F and Slater go down. And then he comes up with the biggest hit of the game on Saturday to tie it. Got the dugout juiced. Dylan comes out and is lights out from there on. So just some big guys stepping up in big moments for us in the most critical point of the season. Because I actually think we are ahead in the standings as compared to where we were this time last year. That's hard to believe.
Which is with what crazy. We've seen.
Yeah.
Absolutely nuts.
Yeah. So I know I've gotten a couple of messages. Who I need to root for this weekend? Who do I need to root for this weekend? So not a lot has changed, but there are more teams for us to go and root for. So we've already said no one's going to catch the top four. So Coastal, Southern, Miss, Troy, Louisiana, feel free to root for them and anyone that they are going to play. And then I really think your bottom three are done. South Alabama, JMU, ULM, Georgia State's teetering, Marshall. They could get back in it. Probably not super likely. So Texas State, who are currently tied with, they go to Georgia Southern, and then they finish at home against JMU. Georgia Southern has said Texas State, and then they go to Marshall. Arkansas State has Troy, and then at the Cajuns. And then App State has South Alabama and Georgia State. So a lot of good opportunities for teams to go and root for that could help us out. I think the tough ones are going to be Texas State, who we're tied with, because – Georgia Southern's been in the slump, and JMU is down at the bottom of the standings now with ULM. They could, in theory, go 4-2, 5-1 in those last six games, and that will push us to 6, but I'm okay with 6.
6 didn't feel possible not that long ago. No. You know, 10 was like seemed like a stretch. So it's pretty great that we're in a situation where right now we can control some things by winning some games. I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, 3-3, and we're definitely in the tournament, and we're in some tiebreakers most likely for 5 or 6. Yeah. If we go 4-2, I think it's 5 or 6 for us. I don't think anyone's going to come up and tie us and push us to 7, but we just got to go win. If we were to somehow go to Harrisonburg and sweep them, then it's like, okay, how do we just get one game from Coastal? And it goes
also,
into
what Finney was saying, going up and sweeping, going up and sweeping JMU just feels really good. Because you know, unfortunately, in our other sports, it's not really a rivalry, or at least in football and basketball, it's not really a rivalry. Right now, we're just a little brother they just whip up on. In baseball, it has been a rivalry, but maybe it might not be because we tend to handle them pretty darn well. And so maybe from their end, it's not a rivalry, but the fact that we beat them pretty consistently. But yeah, so we gotta, if we're gonna, we're gonna make the Royal rivalry actually a thing, and because we handle them pretty okay in some of the other sports that are, they're not basketball and football. But we gotta, you know, hopefully we can start setting that tone for everyone else.
Since Jamie has joined the Sun Belt, we have not beaten them in football, men's basketball, or women's basketball.
Yeah,
and that's problematic, and that's a problem for those sports to go and figure out and deal with. Baseball has beaten them. Soccer's has beaten them. Field hockey, tennis has beaten them.
All the things. But
man, it would feel really good for ODU fans to go and sweep JMU. There'd be some football fans that maybe haven't watched a single ODU baseball game that are maybe beating their chest over that. I know basketball. But we just got to go win the series, period. If we go 1-2 at JMU, things start getting real ugly in that play-in game, and it's just not going to set up well for us. So got to go win that series. And then do everything you can to get a game, maybe two, from Coastal, which we've been able to do that all year. So I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, JMU, if you look at their offensive stats, they're pretty gross. They're pretty much at the bottom of everything in the league. And they've got some good hitters. I mean, like Ryan Dooley, I've gotten to watch him the last couple of years with the Pilots, and he's a phenomenal hitter, and he's having a terrible season. And our buddy Jackson Tone from Old Dominion, who transferred to JMU, he's not having a great year. He's 5-for-40. I looked. He got his first college home run. But I mean, it's not just him. You know, we know he's a good hitter. It's just the team in general. So we gotta pitch well. We gotta go out. We gotta beat them because they're beatable. They do have their top starter has been really good. And then Aiden Cool's brother Max Cool has pitched really well. And after that, you know, so we got to go out and they're a beatable team. Let's go out and beat them.
Yeah. Last couple of weeks, the team has done everything they've needed to do to put themselves in this position where last 2 weeks are here and we've got a shot at the 5 or the 6 seed to get into that. They just have to continue that trend. I don't think they have to go crazy and reach outside themselves, grind out some baseball games, have good at bats, do everything you can on the mound to just keep the ball in play, trust your defense, which was much better over the weekend, I think, for us. So it gets the feeling that the team has finally started truly gelling and coming together. Yeah. And you just got to keep that momentum going into the tournament. Because ODU is a team that if they are the 5 seed or the 6 seed, if you're Coastal, if you're Southern Miss, if you're Troy, probably not super excited to see a matchup with us, because of how good our starting pitching is. And if you stay in these tournament games, even as an underdog, you just open the door for weird shit to happen. And then all of a sudden,
well, we did it.
We did it last year. To Southern.
Yeah. Last year was weird stuff. We made weird stuff happen. We were not going to that tournament thinking we were going to get very deep when we almost won the thing.
Yeah. We fought like hell down the end. We literally just had no arms left, but our starting pitching gives us a chance in just about every game. So just get there. Give me the tie game in the 7th against the higher seed. I'll bet on ODU every time. All right. One more thing that we wanted to cover before we headed out of here. We got an update on Cole Langford. And CB, I think you have the details.
No, I trust me, because I did it for like a whole year before he showed up to ODU. I was saying it wrong in my head. So Cole Langford. Yeah, he was he's a freshman pitcher for us. Pitched some games, had some good appearances, you know. Pitched like a freshman, and you may have noticed he hasn't pitched in a while. Well, there was a reason for that. He had told me about this a while back, and you know, obviously, I don't want to share his business, but because he mentioned this publicly, we thought it was okay to mention. We were at the Norfolk State game, and hadn't seen him a week or two because they've been on the road. And I was like, oh, hey man, how's it going? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna have surgery. I was like, oh man, it's a shame. We get arm surgery? No, brain surgery. He's like, and I'm like, no, but for real. And he's like, no, like for real. And so that was, you know, that was, I don't know, when that Norfolk State game was over a month ago. And so I'm looking to make sure I get it right. So he said he had a cavernous malformation, in his brain. And it was making him have focal aware seizures. He was telling me, he said it's been happening for a few years. But he said it was really getting progressively worse. And, you know, and I'm not a doctor. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure part of the stress of, you know, going away from home, going to college, you know, trying to compete and at this level, I don't know this specifically, but you know, our health is affected by those things. So I'm sure that had an effect. And so he had the surgery and they said it was successful. He's recovering. He had along with this same tweet, he had a little video of him just on his knees, kind of just throwing. They said in about 3-4 weeks, he can start throwing again. Then he can start lifting weights. And so he's on the path of recovery. He told me, when I was talking to him, he said this surgery has about a 95% chance that he will not have seizures anymore. It's still, it's still along with medication. And I told him, I was like, well, you don't get a 95% chance of pretty much anything in life, especially you're a baseball player. There's nothing that's 95% sure. So he, that's why he, I think he said they had about 10 days to decide to, there was an opening for the operation. He was like, yeah, let's do it. So Cole's an awesome kid. I know we haven't had a chance to talk to him on here. We haven't had a chance to really see him much with ODU, but I got a chance to meet him last year. He was playing high school there, Pro 5. He came here, actually pitched a game here in Virginia Beach. And he's just he's a phenomenal kid. His family are just wonderful people. And, I really hope he comes back. I know he's going to work his butt off. There's all kinds of things, but I would not bet on anybody harder than I would bet on Cole to come back and be strong. And, hopefully we see him on the mound next year for ODU and come back out and pitching the way he can pitch, because he's a great kid. He's a really, really good pitcher. And it's a tough thing to have to deal with at any age. But he's 19 years old doing this. That's hard.
Yeah. What's amazing to me is that you can have brain surgery and sometime in like a 3-week window, you can start throwing a baseball again. Pretty impressive. So certainly send in all the good thoughts and vibes over Cole's way as he recovers from this. And we'd love to see him back on the mound in the fall or in the spring when he's ready. But, I can't imagine trying to do all the things he's doing with school and baseball while having seizures going on. So glad to hear the surgery was an option. I love the 95% success rate on it. I mean, that's not just a baseball thing. That's a quality of life thing. So, glad he was brave enough to kind of take the shot on this. And I hope the results all turn out the way that him and his family are hoping for.
Yeah. We hope to see you back out there, Tutu.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for us today. I appreciate you all listening and sharing the good word. We may have our episode drop a day earlier next week because, unfortunately, I'm going to be stuck in Texas for work all next week. So we may record on Sunday and drop this on Monday, but we'll keep you tuned in through the Monarchist social media and also through my social media and CB's and all the other fun ways that we try to get information out to you. But anything else, CB?
Hey, man, you be safe traveling. We're going to go. I'm telling you, 6-0. We're doing it. It's happening. Let's go.
I would love it. It all starts with winning on Friday. I don't know when your curtain fell, but it has fallen in spectacular fashion.
It's fallen aggressively. Yeah, I noticed it when we were talking to Ron. Yeah, it really went down. Usually it's the other side, isn't it? The fall, I don't know. It is.
That's normally where I can see it. I think you were actually in the way. That's why I missed it. But don't worry. We'll get the timestamp on that for those of you betting at home. We appreciate your bets, and we will honor them all here. So, all right. Well, that'll do it for us. Thank you so much, and go Monarchs.
Go Monarchs.
Monarchs.